Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
But today we want to look at God's forgiveness of sins. In looking at God's forgiveness of sins, I want us to understand that the Bible talks about God's forgiveness of sins. Okay? That means that there is also man's forgiveness of sins. God has a way he forgives sins. Man has a way he forgives sins. Okay? It is clear in the Bible. All right? Man's one is the religious way of forgiving sins. God's one is the kingdom way of forgiving things, because he belongs, or he is in the heavenly kingdom, and that is his style of forgiving sins. That is how come we call it God's forgiveness of sin, or it is the kingdom type. Now, I want us to go to Acts chapter 13, and I'm going to sound a caution from Acts chapter 13. It is important for us to sound this caution, because it is comparing the old or the religious or man's way of forgiving and then God's way of forgiving. Hallelujah. Now in Acts chapter 13 and then verse 36 to verse 41, we get to see God's way of forgiving, or how God forgives in the kingdom arrangement which Jesus Christ brought when he came and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Acts chapter 13 verse 36 says that, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption," or he decayed. "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." In fact, I have to comment about this because it's worth commenting about. David saw corruption. In other words, his body started decaying. But Jesus Christ, when he was in the tomb, his body didn't decay. 3 days is enough for a body to decay, all right? But his body did not decay. It's wonderful. When the women brought the spices that they are going to embalm his body, Jesus was already resurrected. But the Bible says to us that his body lied there for 3 days. It didn't smell. He didn't see corruption. 37, that's on my subject. "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." Hallelujah. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." Please underline the forgiveness of sins. "And by him, everyone who believes." Everyone who believes what? Everyone who believes what? No, look at it. He said, "By him." Everyone who believes him. No, it can't be that. He is talking about the forgiveness of sins. Let's read verse 36 again. "Therefore, let it be known to you that there is something special about the Lord Jesus. David saw corruption. Jesus' body did not decay even without spices. It didn't smell. It didn't start to smell even. Okay? So he says that, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man," through Jesus, "is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." So I said you should underline what? The phrase, "the forgiveness of sins." "And by him, everyone who believes." Who believes what? Yes, who believes the forgiveness of sins? Who believes that God has a way of forgiving sins? Everyone who believes is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is where we see a comparison between the old and then the new. All right? The law of Moses basically is based upon meritocracy. In other words, it's like you put something on the table to merit a response from God. So the commandment says that if you shall do this, then me too, I will do that. Okay? The Bible is saying that there is something about Jesus and the arrangement that he brought. The thing about it is that what the law of Moses could not justify you or could not declare you innocent about, that of Jesus or the arrangement that Jesus Christ brought, okay, it grants that you receive justification, you receive innocence. You are declared what? Innocent from the things that the law of Moses could not get you justification or innocence. So he's comparing two things: the law of Moses and its effect, and then the arrangement that Jesus Christ brought and its effect. The effect of Jesus' arrangement is that the ones that the law of Moses could not justify you from, the arrangement of Jesus justifies you from that. The law of Moses, as I said, is based upon merit. You do something to deserve something. That is why it could not justify people, because people could not obey the law. People could not put what God wanted on the table. Okay, so here comes Jesus. Here comes a new arrangement where he says that what the law could not do, Jesus Christ can do. And specifically, it is talking about the forgiveness of sins through Jesus, through believing in Jesus' arrangement. Okay, that one is able to justify you. All right, so let's take verse 38 again, 39. And by him, everyone who believes what? In the forgiveness of sins by grace, not by merit. Moses' one is forgiveness of sins by merit. Jesus' one is forgiveness of sins by grace. Hallelujah. So it can do what Moses and his arrangement could not do. What the law could not do, what religion could not do, Jesus Christ could do it. How could he do it? By grace. By grace, he brings us what? Forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Look at verse 40 now. Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. In other words, something has been spoken in the prophets, in the old arrangement, the old way that God was handling sins. Something had been spoken during the old arrangement. And he says that because he's doing a new thing, which is based upon grace and not upon merit, be careful that what has been spoken in times past doesn't come upon you. And Apostle Paul was preaching to people in our day, so to speak. Okay, that we should be careful that we do not mix up the old arrangement with the new arrangement. Look at it. Let's read what was written, that we should be careful it doesn't happen to us believers. All right, or the world. Behold, verse 41 now, you despisers, marvel and perish. In other words, Jesus or God was saying that a time is coming that I'm going to do something that people are going to despise it. They are going to despise it because it's not like the old arrangement of meriting something. It's going to be a new arrangement altogether. So people are going to look at it and say that, oh, this one, it is not strong. It is not good enough. Okay? So he says that, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. So people are going to despise it and people are going to marvel at it. People are going to marvel at it. Because how come God has brought such an arrangement or such forgiveness of sins to mankind? Not after the old order, but after a new arrangement which his son came into the world to bring about by his blood. He is bringing about what? Forgiveness of sins after a certain order, purely by grace, which people do not deserve, which is going to contradict the old, which he says that we should be careful. We should be careful that we don't despise that work, that forgiveness of sins. Okay? For I work a work in your days. I'm going to do something in your days. A work which you will by no means believe, though one should declare it to you. So he says in the prophets that one day I'm going to do something. That thing, when I do it, even if you are told about it, you will not believe. Because it's going to be so marvelous. It's going to be based upon purely me, purely grace, and not after what the law of Moses was telling you to do. So he said, I'm going to work a work. I'm going to do something. I'm going to bring my son. I'm going to take him to the cross. And I'm going to let his performance bring about for us a forgiveness of sins after a certain order, that if you don't take care, preachers can stand up and they can preach it unto you and you will not believe. So he says that be careful that that prophecy doesn't happen to you, that you don't believe in the forgiveness of sins as under the kingdom arrangement of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why I want to sound this caution before we actually zoom into it. Because you are going to see how stupendous this whole thing is. How gracious this whole arrangement is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and then verse 17. I'm going to try to support everything I say with scriptures, so that we will be able to break down the old building blocks in our minds about forgiveness of sins as done by God, not as done by man, not as done by the laws that men have put in place in society, all right, but as by God. Hallelujah. So the subject is God's forgiveness of sin. It is the kingdom type. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The Bible says that God was in Christ when Jesus was on earth. When Jesus went to the cross, he was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Imputing means to reckon or to put their trespasses or their sins on them. In other words, a time came when Jesus Christ was around, actually when he was on the cross, that God was not putting the sins of human beings on them. He was not reckoning it to them. He was not imputing it to them. But he was doing what? Imputing it to his son, Jesus, on the cross. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ took upon himself all of the sins of mankind. So, God didn't have to impute it on mankind again, because Jesus had absorbed everything. It had been imputed upon Jesus. It had been reckoned to his account. So God didn't have to reckon it to human beings anymore. Hallelujah. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation is the word that we should go and tell them, that God is no more counting your sins against you. Why? Because he counted it against his son when he was on the cross. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, if God is not reckoning people's sins against them, what does it mean? It means that he doesn't recognize those sins upon them. He recognized them that his son took everything. He himself put them all on his son. So he doesn't reckon it upon human beings anymore. What does it mean practically? Does it mean that all human beings are saved? No. It is because although God does not impute their sins upon them, or if you like, you can say God has forgiven human beings all their sins, yet they have to accept it. Hallelujah. They have to accept the fact that in Jesus it's a unique type of forgiveness of sins. They have to accept it. Let me illustrate it. If you owe me something, you owe me 100 Ghana cedis, okay? And you cannot pay me the debts. And so somebody pays the debts on your behalf to me. I take the money, is that right? And then I say that you no more owe me. Now, if I send a messenger to you, you my debtor, you owe me, and I tell you that you no more owe me, that your debt, 100 Ghana, somebody has come to pay. In fact, what Jesus did was that he overpaid it to God. Somebody has paid, has even given me interest, if you like, on it. You have to accept the fact that your debts have been paid. Now, if it is so wonderful for you, that how come somebody, me, I don't know even the person, I didn't ask him, he has come to pay, I don't believe it, then what happens? Although I have your money, so to speak, somebody has given me that money, to you, I don't have it. And so do you know what is going to happen? You are going to behave to me as if I am your creditor, or you still owe me. So typically, when you owe somebody, you don't want it, right? Especially when you have to pay, you haven't paid. The time has passed. When you hear that the person means this way, you can tell him, I'm not at home. So you dodge. That is the same way with God. Jesus has paid the thing. But unbelievers, they don't know that there is a unique forgiveness. I'll teach you that forgiveness. There is a special forgiveness that they have in Jesus. Because of that, they still run away from God. The word of reconciliation is for us to tell them that the sins have been paid already. That they don't need to run away. They should rather come to the creditor. In this case, come to God. In the name of that benefactor, Jesus, who paid the thing that he has paid. So I've come. Now give me more goods. All right. Yeah. But unbelievers do not know it. Because of that, they live under the effects of non-forgiveness of sins. What are the effects of non-forgiveness of sins? Fear. When Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They were running away from God. Because when you know you have debts and you have not paid it, you are full of fear. What else characterizes debtors? They live under a strong psychological burden that they owe. And that kind of burden makes them go into some things that they don't have to go into. Some behavior they don't have to go into. Because of that, they start to cause trouble everywhere. You know, because they are living under the stress of the fact that there are some debts I owe that I have to pay. So when you talk to them small and you mention something, they flare up. Do you know why they flare up? They flare up because they themselves, they are under stress. They don't know that somebody has taken away that debt. Somebody has paid a price. Jesus paid a price for all mankind on the cross. But what I'm saying is that it means that they have to accept it. How will they accept it? When we go and tell them that their sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. When we go and tell them that he's forgiven them already. So they should come to God. Come to the debtor, because it's already, the price has already been paid and actually overpaid. Okay? So they don't have to run away from the creditor, from God. They don't have to fear God. They don't have to do things that you do when you are under the burden of debt. They don't have to sin. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let me say to us that this forgiveness of sin of our sins by the Lord Jesus covers all of our sins. Let me handle that one before I go on. It covers all of our sins. Because I want to show you the specialness of this forgiveness that is going to make us marvel. Hallelujah. The specialness of it is that Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, when he said it is finished, he paid the price for our sins, you know, he totally freed us from our past, our present, and our future sins. Why? Because when he died 2,000 years ago, you and I, we were not there, right? Good. So all things were in the future. But his death in the past took care of even future sins. What it means is that the sins of our children who are yet to be born was also taken care of by the past death of Jesus. That is how come this forgiveness covers all your sins which are yet even to come. So Jesus has to die only once. He doesn't have to die again. Hallelujah. He died once to put away sin. By that complete work, the work is completed. There is nothing that he will do about sin again. Hallelujah. So it covers our past, our present, and our future sins. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10. No, before Colossians 1, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and then verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, having boldness to enter, to go to God, brethren, talking about believers, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. So the blood of Jesus is a new and a living way. Hallelujah. Which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. The veil is the flesh of Jesus. When the veil was torn, the blood was spilled. And the Bible says that the blood is a new and living way. Hallelujah. New and living way means what? It means although Jesus died 2,000 years ago, as far as God is concerned, it is like an everlasting thing. It is like a fresh thing, if you like. By a new and living way. The Greek word translated new is the word phrosphatos. And it means previously, recently slain. Fresh, that is lately made. So, the blood of Jesus is lately made. When we say something is lately made, it means that it is just recent. Hallelujah. It took place 2,000 years ago, but in the eyes of God, it's a recent thing because God does not live in time. In the eyes of God, there is no past, present, and future. To us, there is a past, there is a present, and there is a future. But God lives in one big eternal now. So what took place on the cross at that time is still today for God, so to speak. It's a new and living way. That is why, talking as men, we can say that what took place in the past covers our past, our future, and our present sins. Sins yet to be committed are even forgiven. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. That is how come we can come to God boldly, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Because the veil, his flesh, was torn. The Bible says even the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Not for human beings to go to God necessarily, but for God to enter and venture into the camp. Hallelujah. Come to human beings. And we also make our way unto him. Hallelujah. So that is what I want you to understand. That the sins of your present, your past, and your future is all forgiven. Some believers think that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, God forgives your sins from your past to that day that you said, God, forgive me my sins and come into my heart. From that time onwards, your forgiveness is based upon piecemeal. When you sin, then you go for forgiveness. When you sin, then you go for forgiveness. That is why I want to show you Colossians 1:12. Let's go to the book of Colossians. Colossians 1:14. This is God's forgiveness. This is not man's way of forgiving. God's way of forgiving. Colossians 1:14. In whom, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. In him, we have redemption through his blood. That is number one. What is the second thing we have? The forgiveness of sins. Two things over there. In Jesus, we have redemption, and in Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. It didn't say we will have. Believer, it didn't say that when you commit the sin, then you will have. He says, in him you have. Are you in him? Yes, you are in him. How did you get to be in him? When the Holy Spirit took you and put you into him, when you told him that, forgive me my sins, come into my heart. You became born again. That is where you entered into Jesus. In him you have, not you will have tomorrow. Or you will have when you confess. But in him, it's a past tense rendition. You have it. You have redemption. You have salvation. You are born again. In him, you have forgiveness already, as you have salvation already. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1. And then verse 7. Ephesians 1:7. I want to strengthen this and add a little more to it. It says that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. It's the same as Colossians, not so. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it all. Colossians said that we have it. Now this scripture is also telling us that we have it. Forgiveness of sins in him. Once you are in him, you are a believer. That's talking to who? Believers. You have it. Alright. And he says that he added something to it. You have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to what? The riches of his grace. This is why I want you to understand that the sins of your present, your past, your future has been forgiven if you believe in the cross already. That is how come you are declared righteous by God. There is no righteous person who is unforgiven. Unforgiven righteous. It's not like that. Once you are righteous, you are forgiven. The sins that made you unrighteous has been forgiven. That is how come you are given the gift of righteousness, the free gift of righteousness. He says you have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. It didn't say according to your recognition of your sins as a believer and according to your confession. He said what? According to the riches of his grace. In other words, your forgiveness is based entirely on him. It is not based on you. I'll say it again. Your forgiveness by grace, under the kingdom arrangement of God, is purely based upon the will of God. Not even your will. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Pastor, are you trying to say that we should not confess our sins? That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your forgiveness is based upon God. It's according to the riches of his grace, not even according to your confession. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.